Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
FSP, bringing you all the information that needs to be brought, because I'm like the Rock, just bring it. I would call some people out there cookie pusses like CM Punk, but you might not get the reference, so I won't do that. But I want to give a big, big shout out to all my friends and my family and all the folks in the New York, New Jersey, tri-state area. Someone in New Jersey robbed me. I'm just going to tell you, they robbed me. How did they rob me? $89 million of the Mega Bucks or Mega Million jackpot. Congratulations to whoever it is that's in New Jersey that won that $89 million. Now, I think it might be my co-host, Jerry ATM Taylor. That's why he didn't call in. Because he's celebrating and he went and got his $89 million, and he's like, I don't need Dick or Family Sports and Politics. I'm a millionaire. But you never know. So, in the event my homie, my tag team partner, doesn't call in, we're going to talk a little bit about NFL Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl is here. We're going to talk about, is it necessary? Is it actually something that you as a viewer want to go see or pay money for? If you were in Hawaii, want to take a trip to Hawaii, the over-under is like 84 points. You never see any NFL game 84 points, over-under that is. But we'll see. We'll talk about it. Is it still necessary? If one thing happens during the Super Bowl, I'm predicting that the Ravens will dominate the game. If one thing happens in the Super Bowl, I'm predicting the Ravens will win, hands down. I'll tell you about what that one thing is, and we'll get to that. Are the Lakers on the verge of becoming an irrelevant franchise? I mean, let's think about it. Are they going to become an irrelevant franchise in the next couple of seasons, couple of years? Has the beatdown they've been taking this whole season, which they came in as a heavy favorite to win the NBA title, you know, is this a sign of things to come? We'll talk about it. The Memphis Grizzlies are tearing up the NBA. Who would have predicted? I know some people said the Grizzlies were a team to watch last year, coming into this year, but not to be one of the best teams or have the best record in all of the NBA. I mean, are they going to be this year's or last year's OKC Thunder? We'll see. Also, we're going to talk about the Tim Brown, Bill Callahan situation. I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, the fact that Timmy Brown has been saying some things, it might have swayed some voters that are voting on him to go into the Hall of Fame as a not-gonna-happen type situation. We'll hear what Timmy had to say and how he's trying to combat the lawsuit that Bill Callahan has slapped on him. Right now, I want to bring in my $89 million winner of the Mega Millions, who's going to help bring me to prominence and take care of me and my family. because he's an ATM. ATM money.
If let me put it this way, if I had won that $89 million, I would have said you would have seen me when you see me. Because I would have been out celebrating by now somewhere.
Well, that's what I said.
The place would have been some warm place.
I said that actually at the top of the show. I was like, normally he's here, but the fact that he didn't call in, you know, and the winner was from Jersey.
Really?
Problem, him. Yeah.
Okay.
One person had all five numbers in the Mega Ball. I had the Mega Ball in one number, so I got like $3.
Mm-hmm.
But one guy, state of New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
hit all of the numbers.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Didn't know that. They haven't, I guess, haven't identified a person yet.
Of course not, dude. He's like getting his lawyers and all that other stuff. Right?
Okay. Well, I got to talk to my wife because she normally plays some tickets and have to check the ticket to see if I happen to be one that lucky one person. Who knows?
I mean, what makes you think she's staying with you?
Hey, just like I think it was who said it was Eddie Murphy, half. So half of 89.
Oh, you're on the other side. Oh, man, okay. All right, well, let's get into this. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get in on the conversation that we're about to partake in, by all means, you can always join us on our webpage, which is blogtalkradio.com/VIPHA. I say again, blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, and join the chat. Or, if you feel froggy and you want to leave, call in. The number's 347-637-3220. Again, 347-637-3220. We're going to kick it off right now by talking about Pro Bowl. JT.
Who cares?
We got the Senior Bowl going on today. We got the Pro Bowl going on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how relevant the Pro Bowl is anymore. And for my money, I think the Senior Bowl is going to be a little bit more exciting than the Pro Bowl. But I say this with the line being 84 points. Now, a lot of players are going out saying, you know, Roger Goodell's trying to threaten to get rid of this game and hurt the economy of Hawaii by
mm-hmm.
playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't go out and play as if it's a real, you know, game instead of an exhibition.
I'm getting really tired of Roger Goodell. But okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, the deal is these guys are saying they played 16 games, their bodies are banged up, and they
mm-hmm.
want to go and have some fun, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, this is a game that nobody really wants to get hurt in, and
exactly.
there's only, what, like a $10,000 difference between the winning and the losing teams.
Mm-hmm.
Which could pay for the family's vacation, but still. You know, what do you think about this before I give my thoughts?
You know, it's basically an exhibition game, just like it's in the NBA, but it's football. So all these guys played the regular season, to include the preseason, some of them. Maybe not as much as the preseason, but they played all these games, and some of them got hurt and then came back, and some of them didn't and played the whole season. The bodies are wore out. I mean, you know, I understand they want to go out there and have a good time. Nobody wants to get hurt. Drew Brees got hurt and screwed up his shoulder, and that's why he's not any longer in San Diego. He wound up in New Orleans because he screwed his shoulder up in the Pro Bowl. So nobody wants to be the next Drew Brees. So Roger Goodell says either play hard, which nobody's going to do. That's foolish. Play hard, or I'm going to disband the Pro Bowl. Come on, Roger. Come on. Come on. Every major sport has an all-star game. Every major sport. The scoring is crazy in hockey when they have an all-star. The scoring is crazy in the NBA because nobody plays defense in the NBA all-star game. The baseball, they added a little incentive to the baseball, whoever wins that gets the home field advantage in a World Series. But football is a totally different sport than the other major three sports I just talked about. It's a physical sport. It's more a chance of you actually getting a career-ending injury or a season-ending or the next season injury that you can't participate in. So these guys are going to go just as hard as they need to go, but not fall out because they don't want to risk their careers, plain and simple.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the baseball thing because I want to talk about that. I think the incentive in baseball has actually made the game more interesting. And
absolutely. I agree. Totally agree.
More. Yeah. The thing is, you can't play the Pro Bowl in the middle of the season, though, to dictate anything. You know, what the AFC, NFC, the one thing I can say is, and it will be hard to do, and it would cost the NFL a great deal of money, is if you make the preceding champion, or let's say the AFC wins the Super Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl this year.
Sure.
Then the preceding Super Bowl is played in the winning bidder of the AFC for the Super Bowl. But they don't do it that way. They plan out the Super Bowl like 4 or 5 years in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the next one's going to be in New York. And
right.
And then after that, I think it's going back to Pasadena or San Diego or something like that.
I do believe you're right.
If that's an issue or an option on the table, that means if the NFC, if any owner in the NFC wants to have a chance at you know, giving the Super Bowl in their facility, they would want the NFC to go out and actually play the game and win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means you have 16 teams instead of 32 vying for the opportunity to hold the Super Bowl. And they subtract all the cold weather locations except for New York they're going to do it in. They were talking about D.C., but I don't know if it's going to take place. But, like, all the outdoor facilities, like the Panthers wouldn't have a shot at it. The Redskins and a couple of East Coast teams wouldn't have a shot at it because of the weather. But you look at a team like Atlanta, a team like New Orleans, who already has it, a team like Detroit, who already has it. Maybe even Seattle could host it. You know, San Fran would be a great place. You would have a handful of teams that would not be able to participate in that bidding process, but you would have a lot of teams that could. But the reason why that hurts the NFL is because the revenue. You get more opportunity from all 32 teams to bid and give up the best offer that way. But if we're trying to make the Pro Bowl relevant, they could take a page out of the MLB's playbook. NBA, really, I really don't care. They're just trying to do a spectacle of a week-long event. It doesn't make any difference to me. But let me hear what my cousin has to say. We got him on the line. I know he wants to talk about his Lakers, but right now we're talking about football. Let me bring him on the line real quick. Mr. Moore, what's going on?
What's up, sir? What you talking about?
Well, hello there.
Talking about...
Hello there, my brother.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up? I'm sorry, I got you.
Hey, before you go into whatever you want to say, Vic, I got a question for Macau. Did you get my message?
Yeah. I'm going to call you right after this show.
Okay. Well, I sent you a Facebook message with the guy's number. Did you get that?
Oh, you did. Oh, I got the first Facebook message you sent me.
Okay.
I thought that was your number, so that is his number. Okay, we're good.
It's the 240 you're talking about.
No.
Oh, no. Well, call me. I'll give you the number.
Yeah,
no problem.
I'll call. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking
right.
Some private dancing lovers.
Yeah, man. This is some secret squirrel stuff, man. You know, you in the military, you got to do it on the front lines.
Okay,
you got to do it on front lines. Everything is classified or unclassified with you, sir.
Oh, for real? It better be for my benefit. But we shall.
Oh, please, give me a break, Victor. Victor, give me a break.
I'm not a Durka. It's Victor. You want to call Mikhail, right? Call Victor.
Well, I did that. I said that on purpose, Victor.
Keep messing around, Victor. All right, here we go. The question is this, Michael, and with the topic right now is making the Pro Bowl relevant. You know, Goodell has said he doesn't want it. This game tomorrow is going to decide whether or not he continues hosting the Pro Bowl. The NFL continues to host a Pro Bowl game. The financial and economical implications of killing that game for the state of Hawaii is tremendous. And if they hold it anywhere else, it's still going to be tremendous because it will be one less game or one less revenue stream for the NFL or a city that houses the NFL team. What are your thoughts on it, and how do you think they can make it relevant?
Man, I have no idea how they can make it relevant. I mean, you can't do it. You theoretically could not do it in the middle of the football season, so that won't work. I really don't like it between the Super Bowl weeks. I mean, I understand it from a marketing and a business perspective. I think it's a good idea there, but honestly, I really don't. Overall, I don't think it's a good idea. And then, you know, having it being the last game of the year, you know, it does water down, and, you know, it hasn't worked over the years. So I really don't know what they do. I mean, just to, you know, nominate the players for the Pro Bowl and then not play it, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're just living in different times now. You know?
Well, that's why I brought up the situation of how MLB does theirs. Even though it's a middle of the season type deal, and the winning conference gets to host the majority of the World Series, if the NFL were to do a similar situation where the preceding Super Bowl is bidded on by that conference and that conference alone, that could be an incentive for the owners to encourage their players to play harder and give them more bonuses, because in a lot of these guys' contracts, they get, let's say, an extra $100,000 or whatever it is if they're a Pro Bowl selected player. Now, if they go play in the Pro Bowl and their team wins in the Pro Bowl, that gives that owner more of an incentive to win. A team like the Patriots could probably never host the Super Bowl, just like the Redskins and a couple others. But you can name some dome teams on the East Coast, and even Miami. Miami's always hosting a Super Bowl or in the running for it because of the weather and the climate. But I think it gives an opportunity for these other to make the game relevant or somewhat relevant. Because, again, I'm going to watch the Senior Bowl tonight, and I'm probably not going to watch the Pro Bowl tomorrow because, one, Peyton Manning is the quarterback, and you know they're going to throw the ball a lot. So right now the over-under is 84 points for the Pro Bowl. With Peyton Manning starting at your quarterback for the first quarter and a half, and then you got Matt Schaub, somebody else, Peyton and John Fox being the head coach, he's going to let Peyton throw the ball all over the place. And AP starting, nobody's going to want to tackle AP, especially in a game that doesn't count for much. So AP could go crazy. I mean, 84 points is really unheard of as an over-under for an NFL game, but it's quite possible that it could happen. Now, if they play a real hard-nosed game, I doubt it. But the likelihood of that happening is null, and I mean, not null, but slim to none, in my opinion. So, I'm just trying to figure out a way to make it relevant. I think it can be. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, just the way, you know, just your analysis of it, you know, I get it. You kind of give an analysis from 100,000 feet. The only problem is, you know, where the rubber meets the road, I mean, because you're always going to have a problem if you play this kind of game in the middle of the season, you're always going to have an injury problem. You know, mm-hmm. that is a big problem. And you know, each one of the owners having one of their best assets out on the field playing for something else is I really wouldn't be with it. I wouldn't be with it. So
I
don't think
to be played in the middle of the season. I would not want the game to be played in the middle of the season. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I'm saying is,
I mean, no, you said
like
from
doing
the MLB mob. You said
yes,
from the MLB mob.
Except for the middle of the season thing. What I'm saying is, if they play the Pro Bowl, they're doing right now, and the winner of that game, or the conference that wins that game, automatically, their owners of those teams in that conference can begin the bidding for the upcoming or, you know, whatever Super Bowl down the road that comes about. Meaning, those other 16 owners can begin the process of putting together their plans to, you know, bid for the right to have the Super Bowl come to their city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of, I mean, right now, they have, the NFL has, you know, Super Bowl market by its proverbial genitalia. All 32 teams can put in a bid if they choose to, right? They'll pick the one that gives them the most money, which is fair, and I understand that. But to make the Pro Bowl relevant, you shrink it down to those 16 teams, and then you let how many of those bids that you want in, you narrow the marketplace and say, okay, well, we're not going to get the $32 million from New Orleans because the AFC won the Super Bowl this year. We might get $26, $27 million from the Chargers organization because they're going to host the Super Bowl this year. You're going to lose a little bit of revenue. Got it. But it energizes the owners to get their players to play in the game harder, in my opinion. If they have an opportunity directly after the Pro Bowl to say, you know what, let's start the bidding process right now so we can get Super Bowl. And conceivably, New Orleans can have the Super Bowl back-to-back. Conceivably, if they continually get a winning bid, unless the rules put in place. But, you know, it's just something to chew the fat on. You know what I mean? I don't see the NFL or Roger Goodell or the owners coming up with anything else to make this game relevant. And I think that MLB had a good model for this, because now people watch the All-Star Game, and the All-Star Game has some meaning. Now, whether or not that would have helped this year in the All-Star Game, if Detroit had the four-game series there, as opposed to starting two games here out on the West Coast, I don't know if it would have made a difference, but it would have helped Detroit's economy. They got a hit for, like, what? They played two games in Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
They could have had two games in Detroit, came out here to the West Coast, played two games in San Francisco, and possibly went back to Detroit for game five and got more money. But San Fran got the money because they won everything here. But it's just an option. It's just an option on the table that, you know, maybe they've talked about it. Maybe they have it. But it's just something there I was thinking about. But anyway,
I just think they really need to I think the best thing for them to do is to I think they should take it back to, you know, after the Super Bowl, because I don't like the fact that the two Super Bowl teams players are not in, you know, that you know, aren't there or won't be there. And I think they should step up the marketing. They really need to step up the marketing, and step up the marketing by position and, you know, defensive players and stuff like that. You know, market it to, you know, the relative cities that they're coming from, you know, the relative teams that they're coming from, and really step that up, you know, because there's no reason why they should not do that. I mean, because one, it would be an incentive to bring in more marketing for each one of the teams. It'd be an incentive for the player because there's more marketing opportunity, there's more money opportunities for him. And the NFL comes out like a big rep because they now have a game that is much more paid attention to. That's all I got on it. I don't know.
I'll leave it alone after this, but I think you got
Thank
a point
you.
There. Whatever, Jerry. Because the marketing, of the players and of this game could really help. It really could help. It's just something that needs to be looked at. If you want the game to succeed, you need to find a way to make it work.
Well,
and
I mean,
that's the bottom line.
Well, your model is this. I mean, and if you go along with that, then you're going to have more guys than you have now bowing out.
That's
bowing
true.
Out. The bigger players are going to bow out. You may have a few marquee players, but for the most part, a lot of players besides the ones that are naturally going to play in the Super Bowl are going to bow out because they don't want to. They just for one reason or another, they'll either have to rest. Whatever injuries they have off-season surgery, or just think of some other excuse not to play in the game to risk injury.
But, mm-hmm. however, I think the opportunity to get the exposure, as my cousin said, would be great for these cities. Again, you had, like, you're on your fourth string starters for the Pro Bowl
mm-hmm.
because – most of these guys have either been hurt or they're bowing out of the game.
Right.
So Larry Fitzgerald, who had an awful season this year, is starting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I love Larry Fitzgerald. He deserves it. He really does. Because all the crap that's happened in Phoenix or in Arizona. But he wasn't a Pro Bowler this year. You know, Brandon Marshall decided to leave. Then Trent Williams gets in a fight and or several fights at a club. And he has to leave the Pro Bowl, and they get Matt Khalil on 2 days' notice, you know, to come take his place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different. It's not a good thing, in my opinion. But let's move on from this. Let's talk about another topic that deals with the NFL, because we're going to lead right into the Super Bowl with our next conversation. But Timmy Brown. If you've been living under a rock, you haven't heard Tim Brown or the issue that Tim Brown has brought up about Bill Callahan and when the Raiders played the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl and thoroughly got their butts crushed. There are many, many things that goes into it, that thought process.
Hello?
He feels about Bill Cap. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's hear what Tim Brown himself has to say about Bill Callahan, and then we'll hear about how he's saying these aren't accusations, they're just his theories.
It wasn't a malicious statement made on my part. Again, it's not something that I just start talking about here. It's not like this was the first time I've heard it. When Bill Callahan was hired down here in Dallas, I was on all the radio stations down here talking about this exact thing. So I had spoken about it a couple of years prior. Like I said, I was on my Fox show 8 years ago talking about this.
He hated the Raiders so much that he would sabotage the Super Bowl so his friend could win the Super Bowl. You know, that's hard to say, I mean, because you can't prove it. But the facts are what they are, that less than 36 hours before the game, we changed our game plan. And we go into that game absolutely knowing that we have no shot.
So these are Tim Brown's words. And he said 8 years ago he was on the radio station saying the same thing, but nobody brought the type of attention to it as they did now. And I'm thinking, is this part of a campaign to, you know, not get Timmy into the Hall of Fame this year? Maybe Chris Carter does get in this year. Maybe Andre Reed does get in this year. Because this controversy just so happens to come up during the time when Tim's getting voted on. You know? Let's take out the issue of possibly throwing the Super Bowl, because we don't want to have another Black Sox scandal, but in football. Let's look at the situation with Tim Brown and how this or these accusations paint a picture in a voter's eyes or in the eyes of fans. does or would you think these comments and accusations hurt Tim Brown's chances of getting elected into the Hall of Fame this year, Jerry?
First of all, I don't think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame this year anyway. I really don't. I mean, not that he doesn't deserve it, but I don't think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. I could be mistaken, but and quite naturally, I don't think this helps it a bit. It boggles my mind how supposedly intelligent people do things to torpedo their chances of possibly getting into the Super Bowl. I mean, into the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Around this year when the voting comes. It boggles my mind why you would put yourself out there in the first place and not think of what the ramifications would be, especially if you've been trying to get into the Hall of Fame over a period of years. And this is just going to shed a bad light on him and give him a sore loser's type of look to him. And I don't get it. I mean, you see this over and over again. Guys that are sports figures or entertainment figures do stupid things at the worst time without thinking what the ramifications would be. So doing this and saying what he said at this time, I know he may have said it 8 years ago, but or whatever amount of time it was, but to do it now, especially when you're trying to get into the Hall of Fame and it's so close to that time when they're going to be announcing who's going to actually get into the Hall of Fame, is mind-boggling to me. And in my opinion, and I hate to say it like this, he gets what he deserves.
Hey. Really? Okay. Hey, what's your chest? Go ahead, Mike. What do you think about it?
Jerry, I have to respectfully disagree with you, bro.
No problem.
I respectfully disagree. I think because Tim Brown has always been, when he played, in my opinion, I mean, you guys correct me, he was always a consummate professional. He always kept his mouth shut. He played the game.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once he retired, he said what he wanted to say, and I remember him saying some of these things a while ago. But I don't think this should tarnish him, you know, from going into the Hall of Fame, because the truth is the truth. You know, if he and if that's how he felt, you know, the fact of the matter is that because it has been quite a bit of discussion on it, and I have been reading and checking out different news sports shows on it. You know, there's a lot of support for him. There's a lot of support coming out saying that the game plan was changed 36 hours, so you know it does call into question. You know what I mean? I mean, just looking at it. I do think it's a bit of a stretch to say that Callahan hated the Raiders so much that he would throw the game for his boy, John Gruden. But it ain't out the realm of possibility. It's not. It's not. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Al Davis, you know what I'm saying? I love Al Davis, so a lot of things that he did for the players and stuff like that. But a lot of times, he was a jerk. He was a jerk, you know. So I don't know. I'm not sitting here going. I'm not going to put, you know, the Raiders on trial or Callahan on trial because, you know, this is about Tim Brown going into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Based on you know how he worked and how he played, I definitely think he deserves to go. However, I think the sports media, you know, they ain't too bright anyway. They like the kids with the helmets on. So I think that these guys that are going to vote, because a lot of them are media folks, I gather.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're not gonna apply too much intelligence to this. So yeah, I'm with Jerry on that part. I think it's gonna hurt him.
Yeah,
you know, as far as that's concerned. But if that does happen, it would be a shame.
Well,
it would be a crying shame, and
just like the guys who vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame, these guys are human, so they have human emotions. And I'm not making excuses for them, but this is the reality of it. These guys are human, and some of them sit on a high horse and think that they're above everyone else. And because they may not like what Tim Brown is saying, even though it may be the truth or may not, who knows? Even though, and that could rub them the wrong way. And because they are human, they're going to hold it against them and say, you know what, let me go in a different direction. Tim Brown, in my opinion, doesn't get it this year because I don't like what he said. And that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Because the simple fact is he put himself in that position by saying what he said instead of just, you know, I can understand. If you said something like this in the summer, or you said it something after the voting, you don't set yourself up for someone to give their or show their human emotion or their opinion in their voting. But when he does
this is the thing, though, Jerry. This is the thing. This is the thing. Just like they're human, guess what? So is Tim.
Yeah, but
and the whole situation.
I understand
that. Some people like Tim and myself. We just gonna shoot it. It doesn't matter when or where.
Yeah.
You know, we're just gonna shoot it. The truth is the truth, right? I feel you though.
I understand what you're saying, but
it's hard to skirt around that all the time. It's hard to skirt around that.
I understand
especially when the goalposts change, but
we all know. Every major sport, in fact, in every sport, there's little politics involved in it, and you got to be smart in picking your battles or when you want to say something. Otherwise, it can torpedo you at the wrong time, and it has a possibility to do that.
Well, that's what I was getting to, Jerry, and I'm glad you brought that part up.
Right.
Because politically speaking, if you want to play politics, that's what they do in that room when they're voting on the players. They give you a little insight. Like, I was watching NFL AM one day, and the chairman of the Hall of Fame committee said that, because they asked about Warren Sapp, you know, and he was like, well, Warren is a very well-deserving person to get in. I can't say he'll get in this year, but next year he has a strong chance of it. And you know, they're basing that off of all the people that have been championing Alex Haley. You know, because Alex Haley has been on the docket for quite some time. And they've said, well, because he was an outspoken player, because he was, you know, a destructive force within the locker rooms of the Cowboys and the 49ers and, you know, stuff like that, that precluded him from getting in the Hall of Fame. Well, they're like, okay, it's time for Alex in. He served his penance. You know, he did whatever. They're going to probably put Alex Haley in over Warren Sapp this year because of something like that. Now, Tim Brown, as you said, Mike, throughout his career, he just went out, was the face of the franchise, even when Bo Jackson was there, even when Marcus Allen was there, and then Marcus left. You know, Jim Plunkett and Rich Gannon, the one mainstay was Tim Brown. And he carried that organization on his shoulders quietly. But now, because of this situation, politically speaking, it's like running for president and shooting yourself in the foot saying, oh yeah, I had an affair, but that was a while ago. Nobody brought it up. Nobody had any idea, but you put it out there on the table so that nobody else could hurt you, which ended up hurting yourself.
Right.
And I think that's the political side of it that's going to hurt Tim. Now, if you look at the receivers that are going in, or the top three receivers that stand a chance of going in, Chris Carter's like, okay, Tim, keep talking. Yeah, great job, Tim. Because that helps Tim, Chris Carter, better his chances. Because now it's between him and Andre Reed. Which one of those two are going to get in my opinion? I'm not saying that's going to happen, but in my opinion, if they're never going to put in two players of the skill positions, being a quarterback, I mean a receiver or a running back, which is oddly enough crazy because they put in offensive linemen, defensive linemen, two at a time, or whatever the case may be, in the Hall of Fame, but they never put in two running backs, two wide receivers, or two DBs, whatever the case may be. You know, but that hurts them, and that helps Chris Carter and Andre Reed. But I want to move on from this topic. We'll find out in a couple hours whether Tim Brown has been selected or not and who will actually be the class of 2013 for the NFL Hall of Fame. But the big game happens next Sunday between the San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens. I've gone on record stating that I think that the Ravens are going to win the game.
Who?
At the top of the Ravens. The Ravens. I said at the top of the show, if one thing happens, just one thing happens during this game, the Ravens will utterly dominate the 49ers. And what that is an RG3 type accident. What do I mean by that? What I mean, I know Colin Kaepernick isn't going to slide and put his leg up in the air and stuff like that, like RG3 did. But Haloti Ngata and Terrell Suggs, and they're saying the real person that's going to be the spy is Paul Kruger. I actually think they should put Terrell Suggs as that spy, mainly because Suggs is more mobile than Kruger, in my opinion. But we'll see what happens. But if they are able to put a lick on Kaepernick to put him out, that totally changes the game plan of the 49ers because Alex Smith will have to come in relief and execute a game plan that's very basic and dry and predictable. Now,
ain't gonna
happen. Alex Smith did well last year, you know, against passing teams and against other teams in the NFC on their way to the NFC Championship game, but they ultimately lost. The Giants, who actually play very similarly to the Baltimore Ravens. I really think if a helmet or some shoulder pads or whatever it is are laid on Kaepernick's legs and he goes out for a quarter and a half, or the whole game, the Baltimore Ravens will utterly dominate the game. I'm going to take comments on that. Wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. Give me your comments, and then we'll get to the sound bites I have.
Go to the sound bites first, because I want you to do what you want to do on your show. Go to the sound bites first, and then I got.
Help him out, Jerry. Help him out.
And then I'll comment, because I got something to say about this. Go ahead.
I definitely want
to give a shout out to Jerry, because Jerry just constantly helps out all these shows on here.
whether the host is not prepared and doesn't study his guests,
you know, Jerry is right there helping out the host.
Are you serious?
You know, wait a minute. I'm talking about, you know, other hosts on your network, sir. I'm talking about other hosts right now. I'm gonna get to you. And whether it's that or it's, you know, constant disappearances of the host, you know, just, you know, because of their duties or whatever, and just holding the joint down, and at the same time, you know, bringing a dose of reality to them. I really got to give a shout out to him.
You didn't have to get at that guy. He ain't even here today. But it's all good. Here's a sound bite. I'm gonna play two sound bites here. One of Frank Gore talking about he's playing this game for his mother, and then we're gonna hear from Jim Harbaugh on how important Vernon Davis actually is to the team, and I agree with him on that. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Check this out.
I miss her. I love her. And I know she's happy, right? You know, just her son, you know, who went through so much, you know, coming up, you know, high school, college, and the NFL, and finally he get an opportunity to play in a big game that everybody, you know, who play, you know, just playing in the NFL, her son get a chance to do it.
That was Frank Gore.
Mm-hmm.
About his mom, how he's dedicating his game to his mother. Now, last week, you saw a reemergence of Vernon Davis. I think he might disappear a little bit in this game. He'll still be a big factor, but he won't be as big of a factor as he was last week. Here's Jim Harbaugh on how valuable Vernon is to the 49ers.
Vernon Davis is always has been, always will be, you know, a big part of our passing game and big part of our running game. So that hasn't changed.
So, Mr. Taylor.
Okay.
Those two saying what they said, and I said what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Please enlighten me.
I'm going to enlighten
please, Jerry,
you.
Don't, please, please, Jerry, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Throw me an alley-oop. Thank you.
Oh, my
not,
God.
Not a problem. Anyway, last week we talked, Mr. Gardner, and I'm going to lay this out to you. Last week I told you, and then you agreed with me, but I told you that Vernon Davis was going to have a big game last week. And I also say you may see
Wait a minute.
I said Vernon Davis is going to have a big game, is going to show up in his game, and he did. And I also said that Randy Moss is going to have an appearance in his game, and he did. Well, I think both those guys are definitely going to be able to make plays against the Ravens. I understand their defense has been playing a little bit better, but Mr. Colin Kaepernick is not Michael Vick, is not RG3, and he knows how to slide and run out of bounds when he needs to. If you think the Ravens are going to be able to lay the solid hit on Colin Kaepernick, there's something in California that you must be spoken, and it's affecting your thought process. I'm telling you right now, there is no way, in my opinion, in God's name, in God's ever presence, that the Baltimore Ravens is going to win comes next Sunday.
How much are you going to put on it, Jerry? That's all I'm saying.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. I was quiet. I was quiet and let you finish. I was quiet and let you finish.
I had a $100 bill talking to me. That was my bad.
You give me my opportunity, and then I'll give you your opportunity after McCall talks for you to be able to lose your money to me. But besides that, Colin Kaepernick. Now, before RG3 got hurt against the Ravens, the Ravens had problems with RG3. Colin Kaepernick has a gun for an arm, and in my opinion, and there's no knock on RG3, is a smarter runner than RG3. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that when a shot's going to be given, he's going to either slide or run out of bounds if he does run. But for the most part, what he did last week, you may see that again. Sitting in the pocket and only running sparingly. And he has weapons to throw to, and besides a running game, they're going to be a huge problem for the Baltimore Ravens. Macau, I give it to you.
You are absolutely right. They're going to be a huge problem for the Baltimore Ravens. Number one, I mean, Terrell Suggs, you know, while I respect him and all like that, The brother's hurt. So is Ray, and Ray is older. You know, Reed is a little older. He's very sharp, but that defense is not what it used to be. They're very much vulnerable in a lot of different ways, and I just think that San Francisco will be able to exploit them on with Randy Moss, with Vernon Davis. The running game should be pretty good. They should be able to run up the middle. I mean, I don't see how the Ravens are going to be able to stop them. The only way they're going to compete is with Flacco. You know, Flacco, you know, depending on, you know, which side of the bed he get up on, you know, Sunday morning, or, you know, he'll bring them something. He'll bring them something to at least keep them in the game. But as far as your theory about Colin Kaepernick, that is about as fresh as a Barbie doll, dude. I mean, because Colin Kaepernick, well, you know, I agree with Jerry. He's a much more smarter runner than RG3. He's not, you know, he's not faster or as fearless as RG3, but he's definitely been a little bit more reserved and a little bit more thoughtful in his attack. And when he does attack with his running, it's just been almost just like lights out. I mean, the dude's just getting 10, maybe 15 yards, or he may even break out 20, 30 yard type runs. And I just see that San Francisco is a more complete package than the Ravens. I do believe it's going to be, you know, a heavyweight slugfest. I do believe that. But the tip of hand will be Colin Kaepernick, sir. Sorry.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this. I listened to all that rhetoric. I have $100 on the table for the old guy.
It's there. It's there. I slapped it down on you. Slap it on both sides of your face and shove it up your nose. It's there.
So you snorting cocaine? I'm glad I can help you stop your addiction by taking your money.
One more thing I got to say, and I got to give a shout-out to Jerry, because Jerry called both of these teams when I was on the line with him, and because I didn't think it would be any Dirty Birds in this bowl. I really didn't. I really thought the Patriots would figure out a way, but I absolutely knew that the Atlanta Falcons weren't going anywhere. Mike Nolan.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I picked both birds. Atlanta disappointed me. It's okay. I'm not hurt. But I also picked the Ravens to win as soon as I figured out that they were going to the playoffs and not the Steelers. And I saw that Houston was having some issues. I picked up on the Ravens. But anyway, the bottom line is this. There's a couple things you guys are missing.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you after, because I just missed one real important, or two really important items, but I'll let you finish, then I'll jump in.
We've got to get the basketball in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But Vontae Leach, Navarro Bowman will meet in that hole, or Vontae Leach and Patrick Lewis are going to meet in that hole. And either Bernard Pierce or Ray Rice will have to face Dante Whitman. And I give it to either Pierce or Rice all day. Vontae Leach is the key to the Ravens winning this game. If he can lay the smackers down to either Bowman or Willis, that gives Ray and Pierman some running room, in my opinion. It gives them opportunity. Now, on the flip side of that, if 49ers decide to use LaMichael James,
which they will,
in that read option, which they did last week,
mm-hmm.
That presents a bigger obstacle for the Ravens, because
they're
dealing with speed as opposed to just power.
Thank you.
Now, again, I think that they can handle it if they control the ball. Again, it's not going to be a Joe Flacco winning type game. It's going to end up being a Vontae Leach leading the way for one of those running backs opening up the passing game. I don't think Joe Flacco is going to get over 250 passing, or maybe 220. I'll give him 220 passing, maybe a touchdown or two to Anquan Boldin. But Dennis Pitta is the other major factor. We talked about Vernon Davis. The 49ers aren't that good at covering the tight end. Bowman normally covers a tight end. That's why he stays on the field when teams spread out the 49ers defense and they go to their nickel or their dime packages. Patrick Willis usually stays on the sideline in those cases. Right now, the Ravens don't have enough weapons, solid weapons, to go four wide or three wide and a tight end. They got a receiver, but he doesn't scare anybody. I think he's number 17 or 15 or something like that. And Jacoby Jones is pretty good, but he's not consistent. He's been better this year, but he's not that consistent. The reason why I'm picking the Ravens is because they have the same makeup as they did when they won the Super Bowl several years ago. A hard-hitting defense with good to better special teams. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
The 49ers kick return team has fumbled the ball a lot. David Akers has been sporadic at best this year. Matter of fact, he was the worst kicker in the NFL this year.
And,
so, you know, that is my basis. But go ahead.
The worst kicker, and they still got to the Super Bowl. So what's that telling you, the talent level of this team? They're playing inside on the turf. All I have to say is, who's the younger team? Who has the most talent? You compare these two teams, and who's got the most talent on both sides of the ball, and who's got the most speed? Youth, speed, talent. It's all to me. It's all on the 49ers. The Ravens have talent in certain positions, but the overall talent and the youth and the speed of the 49ers is going to overcome the age and experience which the Ravens bring into this game. There's no way, in my opinion, that the Ravens win this game. It may be close, but in the end result, when it's all double zeros or triple zeros or whatever you want to call it, the 49ers is going to prevail in this game.
I just can't believe you said this team is like the Ravens in the past Super Bowl Ravens.
Yes.
No way. No way on God's green earth that these dudes are anything like they were back in what, 2000? Oh, no.
Not even close.
No.
Not even close. That was a stifling defense. Their defense was so stifling that they got to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl on their defense, not their offense, because Trent Dilfer wasn't that good of a quarterback. They could completely stifle the Giants in that game, and the Giants didn't really have a real big-time offense. And the speed of the 49ers, and they're younger, and they're quicker, and they're playing on turf. So what's that telling you? I don't care what the Ravens do. I can't see them winning this game.
Okay.
Can't see them winning this game.
Speed kills.
And they have a hell of a combination of speed, youth, and power. I mean,
mm-hmm.
These dudes are young. They're hungry and they're strong. I just think it's their time. I really do.
Okay. I mean, it's history can repeat itself in this case.
Okay. You do remember my PayPal account, right?
I mean, you remember mine, of course.
You know.
I know times are hard. I give you a Groupon so you have a little discount.
Hey, you know what? Come the end of this game, I'll give you a group hug, but I expect my money on Monday.
You know what, guys? Don't worry. You'll need one.
I'm just kidding, Victor. You'll just need a kidding.
Okay. But we'll see. All right. At any rate,
yeah, go ahead.
Let's move on to. Well, I got this one sound, but I want to get a quick thought process when we move to basketball. The guy's not out of the woods, but he's riding a tiger. And six of the seven times Tiger Woods has won the Farmers Classic golfing tournament, he's gone on to win a major. Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to scrap the Tiger Woods thing because I want to get your thoughts on this because it pertains to this. I'm sorry I'm jumping back and forth, but this was important. I just came across the soundbite. Here's Ozzie Newsome on whether or not he forced John Harbaugh to fire Cam Campbell.
That wouldn't be fair to John. John has to stand before his coaching staff and his players. And if at any one point do they ever think that he is overly influenced by Steve I, that he loses his staff and his players. It has to be him.
So, with that being said, Cam Cameron came out earlier this week saying that it was the best move, it was a brilliant move to fire him and put Caldwell in his place. With what Ozzie Newsome just said, what do you guys think about that whole situation there?
Go ahead, Mikhail.
I turned out to be flat wrong. I thought it was a bad move when it came out, and I spoke out about it. And Caldwell's doing pretty good, you know, with how he's calling the game. And Flacco looks a lot more relaxed and looks more in control. And I'm kind of stunned by that because of Cam Cameron was the one that, you know, just developed Flacco, and but I think it just came down to Ray Rice and how they were running Ray Rice and how they were using it and mixing it up and stuff. So I get it. I definitely would eat crow on that, but I do not think that it was anyone other than Harbaugh that made that call. I mean, in his coaching, in his press conference afterwards, you know, he gave me that impression there. There's no right. doubt in my mind that is his team, and they are lock, stock, and step with him. You know, you got to throw in there, you know, the Ray Lewis effect, but you know, Harbaugh benefits from that. But it's definitely his team, definitely. And it was definitely a decision he made.
I have to agree. I think it definitely was a decision he made. And I was a little skeptical myself about the move, especially in in-season move, changing the offensive coordinator. But they apparently Harbaugh saw something in Caldwell that would think that Joe Flacco would benefit from him versus Cam Cameron. And I think Cam Cameron at whatever point in the season was rigid on the way he was calling plays and really not communicating or discussing the game plan and what felt comfortable for Flacco and what would work with Flacco versus Caldwell. Where Caldwell, as you saw when he was a head coach, he was pretty flexible and easy to work with his quarterback on what he wanted to do on the offensive side of the ball. So
But Jerry, he wasn't even calling plays. That's the thing that just blew me.
He was the quarterback coach. So
yes.
See, he had close contact, and he was in constantly in Flacco's ear. So he had he probably developed a very good rapport and very comfortable for Flacco to be interacting with Caldwell versus Cam Cameron, because you heard reports throughout this past early part of the season, and especially last season, that Flacco and Cameron, Cam Cameron, weren't on the same page or there was a conflict on his play call.
Yeah,
so,
the issue.
The thing about it is Caldwell seems like he's a more affable guy and a guy that's willing to listen to his quarterback, who's the main guy on the team, especially on the offense, to run the offense to do something that he's comfortable with out on the field. So once he got out there, once he had a good feeling of what Flacco wanted to do, the offense of the Ravens got progressively better as each game went on, even though they lost a few games during the late part of the season. But their offense was performing better than it was and more efficiently than it was when Cam Cameron was over, because he was strict on what he wanted to do, and I think he didn't give Flacco that much input or leeway on what he could do on the field.
Part of it was this, that the offensive, not huddle, but the offensive group was feeling splintered. And so it was a good move for him to go ahead and replace. That was one of the things Cameron said about the whole situation.
And I think Harbaugh saw it, and he said, you know what? I got to get him out and get him out of the way here. Let Caldwell and Flacco work this out because I think they can work better than Cam Cameron. The threesome has to go. It has to be a twosome. We go from there.
And that was part of the issue. So, yes. And this transitions perfectly into basketball because the threesome in L.A., that ain't working, homie. And right now, I've got three sound bites I want to play. First of all, this whole big deal about Dwight Howard not getting any touches or any scoring or anything like that, we have a commentator, Mac McManamick, talking about how Dwight Howard has opportunity to score.
Al Jefferson is number one in the league in post-up touches. Number two is Dwight Howard, and that's with Dwight missing time. That's with Dwight getting ejected from two games. That's with Dwight, you know, leaving yesterday's game early. It's not like he has such a low amount of post-up opportunities so far this year in Mike D'Antoni's offense. He has to make the most of them. A lot of times he gets fouled, and what happens when he gets fouled? He misses his foul shot.
And that, my friends, is why he doesn't get the points, and he went around saying he was 5-for-7 or whatever, and Kobe was like 9-for-22. But Hubie Brown says, former NBA coach, current commentator, he says the problem is the lack of Laker defense.
They don't have the defense that creates the open floor game for them. And then they don't have the consistent scoring night in and night out. Now, those things are not going to go away. I don't care what they do unless they make some drastic changes.
Right, right. Exactly.
And with that, you know, why would you even sign a guy like Steve Nash, who you know is a defensive liability? But there's one person in the world that actually has some soft feelings for Steve Nash and his ability to play defense. That's Mr. Van Gundy.
Here he is, two-time MVP, playing in the twilight of his career, trying to go to a place and have a chance for it, to play for it all. And what does he get? He gets a bunch of guys who look dissatisfied and morose half the time.
Desperate housewives, West Coast.
Yeah, that sounds like something Jeff would say. Got to be Brooklyn, Jersey guy. But Stan Van Gundy right there. Now, here's the deal. The Lakers, this is Michael's team, the Lakers had an open, candid conversation in their locker room the other day, and Steve Nash went first, and he said he doesn't care if they play pick and roll or out tempo, he just wants to win. Then there was that issue where Kobe stood up and said something about Dwight being the type of player he is, and Dwight didn't respond back to him. And then reporters, after a loss to Memphis, came back to Kobe and asked, did he think the message was received by Dwight? And Kobe laughed and said, what do you think, or no, or something like that. And the Lakers won last night, though. They won for the first time in a while. And they're just a corrosive team right now. Once Kobe leaves, if the White gets traded, will this franchise fall out of favor in the public eye? I know, we know it's worth billions and billions of dollars and da-da-da-da-da, but has its dynasty run its course? Michael, this is your team. I'm going to let you talk first. Have at it.
There are only three teams that matter in the NBA, and I've said this before on your show. That would be the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Knicks. Other than that, no one else matters. Of course, it is a league-driven, I mean, it is a star-driven league. You have different stars that pop up in different areas. Got that. You got, that's why you have LeBron, you have Dwayne Wade, and you have all these different stars all over. But honestly, it still boils down to those three teams. You know, and I've said this before. I mean, all of your sound bites and everything just totally skirted around what exactly the problem is. And I'll go on it again and tell you exactly what the problem is. The problem is not Kobe. The problem is not Steve Nash's liabilities. The problem is not Dwight Howard not getting touches. None of those things. It is systemic. The problem is systemic. There's no prevailing philosophy there at the Lakers that fits them all, and they do not all buy into it. Of course, Hubie Brown is absolutely correct when he talks about defense and, you know, getting open floor opportunities and stuff like that. That's more technical, but it still goes back to philosophy. And where did this start? This started with the beef between the young bust, you know, trying to run this team and going out and picking who he wanted to pick. You know, we're about to go through two coaches because this guy is not going to last to the end. He's not going to last after this season. D'Antoni's not going to last after this season. We've gone through two coaches now. We went with the guy, Mike Brown, which was a horrible decision, and D'Antoni, which was an even worse decision to go with. When you have a five-time champion on your team, which your team is still built around, that is Kobe Bryant, who won championships with the triangle offense. So, therefore, you should have hired Brian Shaw or someone of the ilk that that believes in the triangle offense to even keep the system going, the one that everyone already believed in.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Preach.
Point blank.
Preach.
It did not even matter.
Go ahead, Reverend T.
What?
Come on, now.
It did not even matter. What player you brought in? You could have brought in LeBron James. You could have brought in Kevin Durant. Any one of those guys, but you plugged them into your system. You know, you do not go back out and get a whole new entire philosophy, system, coaching, unless you're trying to oust Kobe. You know, you got Kobe there. Why don't you use him and play him the way he's won before? It just makes no sense to me. It's, you know, I'm really upset about that part. But, you know, all this bickering and carrying on, man, this is what you get when you get a divided nation like that, man. That's what you get. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I lay this all at the fault of the young bus. You know, he need to get up out of there. They need to get him up out of there. Because he all up in his feelings. He got this big beef with Phil Jackson. So Phil recommended Brian Shaw, and for obvious reasons, because, you know, Phil's a big philosophical guy. That's why I like him so much. Not because he's coaching my Lakers, but that's just the way he's always been. You know, he was that way when he was with the Bulls, and I don't foresee him going to another team to coach unless he can bring that philosophy with him. But guess what? Everyone will fall in tow with his philosophy, and he will just take over whatever team and take them to the championships, as he usually does.
All right. Well, I mean, that's how you really feel. Go ahead, JT.
Old and slow, and that doesn't compute in the D'Antonio, whatever his name is, system.
Right. Exactly.
No, they play no defense because they're slower. They can't really run in transition because they're slower. They're not a good defensive team. Steve Nash is not a good defensive player. Kobe is all right. He's not the best defensive player, but he's all right. You got Meta World Peace, and you got Paul Gasol and Dwight Howard, who for God's sake, I don't know why I was against this hire when they hired this coach and knew this was going to happen because these guys can't buy into it. They don't believe it. It's obvious they don't believe it, and they don't believe in themselves, just like Macau was saying. This is an accident that's happened, and it's going to happen over and over again until the head coach is out of there. And also, Jerry Buss has got to get his son Tim out of there because he's got a huge ego. Besides run-ins with Phil, he's had run-ins with different people in the management of other teams because of how flaky he is. And he has a huge ego, and because he's daddy's boy, he gets to run the team just like a spoiled kid. And if he doesn't get his way, he runs off and pouts, and it's to the detriment of the Lakers. And getting back to your original question, are they relevant anymore? Not until what you that soundbite said about Hubie Brown, until they blow it up. Because the fact is, the coach is not the coach that should be here. And the players don't believe in it. And you have to get some younger blood in there, including the coach, to turn things around. Otherwise, this team, this organization, with Tim Buss running it, is on decline. And it's rapidly going down, and you can see it right in front of your face, and all Laker fans, including Macau, have a reason to be pissed off about this.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not a Laker fan. I think the Lakers are a very good team. However, and Michael touched on it, and I believe we talked about it a little bit on Thursday. Triangle offense is what this team is designed for.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer Showtime. You know, Showtime would have worked maybe 4 or 5 years ago when all these guys were 4 or 5 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
They could run up the court, you know, every day for 62 games, you know, but they can't do that. Nash can't do it. You know, you have a depleted bench. The only thing you have on your bench is Antoine Jameson and I believe Steve Blake. I believe Blake's still there. I'm not sure. I have to check it out.
Steve Blake is still there.
Okay. And they both are older.
Mm-hmm.
Jameson has bad knees. You know, you look at what it is the Lakers have to offer the NBA. Right now, it's only a name. A name, a brand. You can't, they're going to be on the Sunday Showcase on ABC versus the Thunder tomorrow. Okay? That's more of a showcase for the Thunder. If the Lakers give them a good game, that's an added bonus for the NBA. People see the Lakers logo, they hear the Lakers name, and automatically, because it's synonymous with success and good things. Right now, that's not the case. I will put this out there. I think Brown could have had a better record with this team than D'Antonio. D'Antoni, I should say.
Whatever.
If they would have kept Brown,
what good would it make?
But they would have had several more wins. They wouldn't have to go 30-12 or whatever it is they got to go
no,
in order to make the playoffs.
It still wouldn't make any difference. It still wouldn't make any difference. You're comparing apples to oranges. And then,
different offenses because you don't have a running game.
They didn't believe in that offense he had going on there either, which was the problem. Last year, it wasn't defense the problem. It was offense was the problem.
I got
which
that.
Is why this idiot brought in the offensive guy. Now, defense is the problem. Really?
Well, Michael, that's not the point. The point is the offensive philosophy. If you have a slower-paced offensive philosophy, which Brown had, you're not getting killed because your team is trying to run up and down the court.
The only way this team would have got better is to blow it up. If okay. if you're going to bring in a coach like D'Antoni, you couldn't have the players you have now. You have to get some younger and quicker players, and you're trying to put a square hole into a round peg. You can't do it.
Right, and I'll take it a step further, Jerry. When they switched from triangle offense, they should have blew up the team right then and there.
That's what I'm talking about.
They should have blew up
absolutely.
The team right
yep.
then
yep.
and there.
But that,
when Brown came in, they should have just totally blew up the team. Because in effect, what you're saying is, okay, Kobe, forget you, we done. That's exactly what they did. Exactly what they did.
Well, and that was the issue that they brought up, because when Phil left, you know, it was like, okay, what is it that is it going to take for us to keep Kobe happy, and how can we be winners, you know, and that was a consideration. I remember we were talking about it a couple years ago or last year, we were talking about the NBA not having a season and Kobe going to Italy and all these other places. You know, that's when they should have said, you know, the philosophy is going to change. We need to change the philosophy. Yeah, we know Kobe has maybe one or two, maybe even three more good years in him. Let's trade him and get rid of him, because that was a topic. That was a topic several years ago.
But the problem was Kobe was still the draw, and Kobe still had it in the tank. So your best bet was to keep the inside triangle the triangle offense and build from it there. Keep building it until you have a workable transition. Or keep it. Keep the philosophy. Not unless you were going to, like I said, blow up the whole team. But they chose to keep Kobe and to change up the philosophy. Bad move.
Extremely bad move. Let me put it this way. Why would you change a formula that's been working for a period of years?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that? The only reason you would do that is because you forced the head coach who you had a tenuous a relationship with to try to put your stamp on a team. So you went in a totally different direction, but your team, your whole basketball team, is fitting in one system. And in essence, you're screwing up your whole team because of your ego, which I'm talking about Tim Buss. And it showed out last week, last year, and it's really showed out this year. And I'm surprised. I'm really surprised, because I think a lot of the Laker organization, even though I'm not a Laker fan, that they will let something like this go on with Daddy's boy running it into the ground, in my opinion.
Well, again, Thursday we talked about the daughter, how when she had some say in the organization, or a louder voice in the organization, perceived louder voice in the organization, how the team was doing well. Yes, she had a relationship with Phil Jackson. I mean, was that a good public relations thing? No. But at the same time, you knew that she was thinking business first and putting together an organization or a set of players that would be contenders. Would they always win an NBA championship? No. And that's why they decided to go out and get Paul Gasol. When they put Paul Gasol with Kobe Bryant, what happened? They won. You know, when they brought Phil Jackson back in and put him in charge of the whole shebang, they won. You can't have Kobe by himself. You can't have, you know, all these other type of players. You do need a second or third player to help you, even though you're in a triangle offense. Jordan didn't win very much until he got Scottie. Then you had Dennis Rodman cleaning up the boards, and you had John Sally doing whatever it is John Sally did, and a few other people coming in there, you know, helping out in that triangle offense. You know, you can't be a one-man show, but, again, you put the proper philosophy
into the system for your players. I'll equate it to football again. Last football season, I had a quarterback that I knew was a running quarterback. I knew that. I knew he had a strong arm, but he never set his feet, and he never his fundamentals were off. So I couldn't drop him back 30, 40 times a game and expect him to do well. So what did I do? I brought in my style of the pistol and several other formations that helped get him more acclimated and get our running game going. We did better than we did the year before. Still wasn't what I wanted, but the team got better. It didn't, I'm thinking for a different word other than decrease, but we didn't regress.
Right.
We didn't regress. You know, where the Lakers, they're regressing from last year. You know, they're regressing from last year.
Uh-huh.
But it is what it is. I've got 4 minutes left of live air, and I want to get this out before I go to the last topic, which is Tiger Woods. I want to thank everybody for listening. Every Saturday, we're here at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. We call Fantasy Sports and Politics every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sundays, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you have the Master Plan. Tomorrow I'm going to be talking some Senior Bowl stuff as well as some baseball and a little bit of basketball. I'm sitting in for Jerry ATM Money tomorrow, and we're going to do that and get that going. Then as soon as Kim is done, Kim will be back.
What?
Excuse me?
he caught that. What? Yes, I have an engagement. In fact, Vic is probably going to give me a remark here, but I have an engagement I have to go to tomorrow morning with my mother. So.
They're
doing this combine. Y'all going to spring training?
Not going to spring training.
The show is going to absolutely suck tomorrow.
My mother asked me to go to this game engagement that happens annually. I've never gone. She asked me specifically, so I this year I'm going to go.
That's fine. We want you to go to the Pro Bowl. We want you to go and get your scout on. You know, Mom is everybody that she gets all your good reports. I love your mom. I love her. I really do. But, yes, on Tuesdays when Kim comes back from India, she'll be picking up where she left off with Compassion Bikini. Then on Thursdays we've got FSP Crucial, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My guys, Jeff, Black, and Jerry, are always on and doing something great. Black is laid up in the house right now with some bad back issues, but Jeff and Jerry are doing their thing. Then on Friday, No Chaser, Matt Williams, Jerry Taylor. This upcoming week, I know it's going to be another special guest. I'll get the information later on. But that's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then you're right back with us again on FSP on Saturdays. Now, ladies and gentlemen, according to my cousin and my co-host, JT, for the month of March and April, you're going to have some of the best high-quality shows ever.
Wow, you're going to be gone March and April?
Yeah.
You may not have a show when you come back.
Yo, y'all need to check out these shows.
Whatever.
These shows will be the highest rated shows on FSP. Seriously.
Whatever.
Seriously.
Whatever.
Best product
I will be out of the net. I will be out of the net and doing some things I need to do. JT will be hosting and, for all intents and purposes, the host of the network. That's why he's my right hand man.
Mm-hmm.
I got him doing all types of things. I'm trying to get some stuff going, grants, some something, because I got to turn this hobby into a profit. I got to do it. So if you guys out there, you want to pick up a program or several programs, we've got it for you. Then my cousin, Grown Soul and Real Talk, Tuesday and Wednesday. That's what they do here on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/GS. Grown
R-T. G-S-R-T.
R-T. Grown Soul Real Talk. Get it right.
Grown Soul Real Talk. We are monetized. You give me a call and I'll show you how to do it.
I know how to get money going, but I need big money. I don't need the little money.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, little money turning to big money. Little money turning to big money. And while you knocking on the door begging for more money, you could be making money and then showing that you can make money. So that way you'll have a model to present to them when you, you know, when they knocking, when you knocking on their door begging. But they gonna come knocking at my door.
That's, I got that coming too. That's why JT's gonna hook it up. JT, everybody going to overtime real quick. We want to thank y'all for listening to us. We'll see you next week. We're in overtime. All right, real quick. I want to get this Tiger Woods thing out because I know it's going to be a quick, maybe 5-10 minutes from us. But let me see. We got a great show, guys. Thank you, Cloud Nation, for that comment. But Tiger Woods has played in this tournament for some time. And every time he wins, 6 out of 7 times, he goes on to win a major title. And I believe he needs, 2 or 4 more to beat the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus? I'm not sure the exact number. But if he wins this Farmers tournament, it's highly likely he'll win a major. Here's what Tiger had to say about his gameplay over the past couple of days.
I played well today. I drove the ball great and took advantage of the par fives. And I think I played them when I played them 5 under. So, you know, that's basically where the round could be had. This is, you know, on the north course, drive the ball well here. You're going to have probably 4 iron shots into the par fives.
So, Tiger's getting swag. Like, even the commentator on ESPN said Tiger's walking with his swag. He's already getting swag back. A female commentator said this. Now, this wasn't an urban individual saying it, but he's showing the signs of the old Tiger. I know this is the same conversation we've had time and time again about whether he's the linchpin in golf. And I had an issue online on Facebook with Mac about how Rory McIlroy joined Nike and then how Tiger wasn't relevant in the world of golf, other than the fact that he's a draw. He draws people to see him either win or lose. There is no, you know, group or set of folks that are going to see Tiger just to see great golf. They're going to see Tiger either win or they want to see Tiger lose. But with that said, what are your feelings on, if you've been following, his current status and his gameplay? I go with Mike first, then I'll end with Jerry.
I got nothing.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Hey, well, you know, the deal is this, man. Tiger's just getting his freak on again with his wife. Well, his ex-wife.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Are you serious?
And you didn't. Well, you Google Tiger and his wife, and the word is that he's getting back together with his supposedly ex-wife. Well, it's not supposedly, his ex-wife, so.
I thought Black has that on lock now. He done had his whole.
So they've been seen together. They supposedly were seen over the holidays, and they've been seen out and about with each other. So if you've seen Tiger getting his swag back, it's because Ellen has given him his swag back. So supposedly he's offered, from what I'm reading here, offered a $200 million loyalty fee. If he cheats again, she's going to get paid big time. So I think along with Tiger getting his, I don't know if it's his lucky charm back, that he's getting his swag back, which in turn gets him to win the tournaments that he's been trying to win over the last few years, past the turmoil that's been going on since he been exposed by his wife and the media. So I think he may not be the same Tiger he was before, but I think you didn't get a close proximity of that.
That is interesting. I mean, I really did not know that.
Yeah, well, you Google Tiger and his wife getting back, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's several articles on Google about it. So.
Well, we need to inform Black so Black can step in and take care of his business.
If you were an informed host, you would know that, but that's okay.
Yeah,
if you were an informed host, you would know that. You're going to second that?
Yeah, I'm going to second that. Yeah, and I'm going to double down on it. Because last week you was trying to tell me that the dude from the Ravens that came out, that dude ain't came out. The NFL does not have a player that is out.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Well,
you need to send
me the proof, sir, because I haven't seen it. You need to send it to me. The NFL does not have a player that's out. Sorry.
Give me the name.
Yes, they do.
Give me the name.
Iam Adazio, the linebacker for the – he's one of the linebackers for the Baltimore Ravens.
He's not out.
Okay.
He is not out.
Okay.
He is not out.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm telling you, you can look it up. It's a fact. He put it out. He's been out.
I looked it up all week. Because I've been talking about this Monty Tail thing all week. All week. I've been looking it up. I haven't seen anywhere where this man said, yes, I am openly gay and I am playing in the NFL. He is not out, sir. That would be big, big news.
Here it is, right? I just pulled it up. Baltimore Ravens linebacker. It's the same one as Brandon Iam Adazio. That's the one. He's one that has the loud platform for gay rights, but he's also gay.
You need to send me that.
Dude, I put in Raven linebacker that is gay. I went through Bing. Brian Iam Adazio. Iam Adazio, Baltimore Ravens linebacker. He's going to use this opportunity to talk about being gay. And for gay marriage and all that other stuff. They're talking about his platform as well as that he's gay. That's the thing.
That he is gay. And
yes. He's not going to talk about himself being gay at the Super Bowl, but these articles are talking about that he is gay.
Okay. But he's out.
Yes! That's
okay.
Why.
All
if
right.
You remember, I did a show. We did a show some time ago where I played a soundbite about the Baltimore Ravens getting information from the NFL telling Iam Adazio to stop talking about it.
Dude, you talking about how he stood up for gay rights. I have not seen him say that he's gay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm reading an article about him. He said he grew up around gay people in a liberal society, and discrimination was never allowed. He admits that not all his teammates agree with his stance, but he said he had gotten more support than when he first supported the issue several years ago. So he understands that as a straight, biracial player in the Super Bowl, he can have a huge impact on the future of this issue.
Oh, that don't sound like out to me.
He's out.
He's not out, Vic. He's
not
out.
He's not out.
I'm sorry,
Victor,
bro. I'm sorry, Brandon, for putting your business
Victor,
out on the street like that.
If he was out, Victor,
gay.
Let me tell you something. If he was out, that would be the biggest news across this land. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry. That's why I was like, what in the world are you talking about? I know I felt like I was under a rock somewhere. So I'm looking, I was like, this man ain't out. What the hell is he talking about?
Okay.
Yeah, he may be gay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We could speculate on that, but he is not out. He is
okay.
not out.
Okay.
And it's his next sentence is, while I don't know, I can't pronounce his name, has a job to do with the Ravens preparing for a championship game against the 49ers, he also feels he has a social responsibility to bring awareness to the cause of the gay rights. So he's not gay. He just believes in everybody having equal rights. He just believes everybody should have equal rights, including people who are gay. So he's not gay.
Right. That's what he's saying. Now, we could speculate, like, yeah, you and I could speculate, like, yeah, Slim, you doing a little too much, you know, to stand on it or whatever. I think you get. Yeah, we could do that. You and I could do that. But he is not out.
Well, I got a question for you, Mr. Gardner. And you're the what's the responsibility you have in your unit as a
the equal opportunity?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the assumption you have, just because this guy, the pro football player.
My wife's gaydar went off. When my wife's gaydar goes off, she's 100% right. Homie's gay.
Wait a minute. Just because he stands up for people who are gay,
dude,
and equal.
I stood up for gay people, and I'm not gay.
But what makes you think he never came out? He's only
supporting
gay rights.
My wife's gaydar.
Oh, okay. So the gaydar, we doing the gaydar thing. Okay.
And he's
Shut
not
up.
The first guy, because I can't remember. I think it was a kicker or whoever it was.
Yeah, it was a kicker from Minnesota.
Exactly. And he's not gay, but he stood up for people that are gay rights. And he got lambasted for that, too. So I don't know if they thought he was gay also, but just because you stand up for whoever rights that you're standing up for, and this happens to be gay, doesn't mean that you are gay.
I know that. I'm not trying to say the guy is.
I mean, you are trying to say he is.
Yeah, you
I know
did.
I was. I'm trying to
you
back
did.
Up. Can I pull my
Tim
my
Brown?
Mitt Romney out? Can I pull
you
my
Mitt pull,
Romney
you
out?
You want to pull Tim Brown?
No. I'll pull a Mitt Romney. But anyway, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
He's insignificant people here.
No, we're not insignificant. If we're so insignificant, why do you have us on your show?
We're just trying to correct you, trying to make your show relevant. You know, trying to make you relevant, trying to help you out.
You know what?
You gave out misinformation last week.
Hey, silence. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
God.
You people.
Must we be? I mean, can we all get along?
I know you were going to say that. I just knew that was coming.
Anyway, that's all I had on tap for today.
Okay.
I wanted to get UFC has a huge card coming up. And next week I want to talk about it because it's going to be probably one of their best cards to date.
Okay.
That's the same thing I said about boxing. At least MMA is getting more push than boxing nowadays. But anyway, the card is a super card, and it's going to be all on Fox. It's going to be free for people to watch. Some of the best talent is going to be fighting on this card coming up, and then the pay-per-view is outstanding. Every fight that is supposed to be on pay-per-view is worth the price of the pay-per-view. So I hope you guys get an opportunity to check it out. If you don't, then so be it. You'll catch it on SportsCenter or YouTube, whatever it is you want to look it up. But with that being said, time to get up out of here. I want to thank my cousin, Mike, and my boy, JT, ATM.
It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
So, you know, I plan to be paid in 2 weeks. Paid in the shade, sipping on some lemonade. Well, not 2 weeks. 9 days to be exact. 10 days. I'll go 10 days. So
you're going to have that lemonade bitter taste in your mouth. Let me put it that way.
Hey, if it's bitter, I can throw some sugar in it and make it sweet. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, JT, take us out of here.
Mikal, don't forget to call me. It's been
a
pleasure. And quite naturally, from all of us to all of you, you have been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face.
I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.